Give to God what belongs to God. What belongs to God, but our very lives. St. Paul points out, we were chosen by God the Father. We owe our lives, our adoration, our reverence, and our love to, as the prophet Isaiah said today, the one who called us by name and gave us everything. God sets the record straight in the first reading, Isaiah, saying that I am the Lord and there is no other. God is the Lord of all things, even politics and government. In the gospel today, Jesus challenges us to give God his due. We know so easily how to give the government its due, our taxes, our jury duty, and our informed, conscientious voting. How is it that we do not know how to give God our sacrifice and our service? If we know how to call on the government, how is it we do not know how to call upon God who gave us everything? Which is more reliable? Which is more powerful and dependable? Which passes and which remains? Let us ask ourselves today, what does it mean to be a responsible citizen of our country? What does it mean to be a responsible citizen of heaven? The gospel seems to be perfectly fitting in this election year, as we are only weeks away from this pivotal election. The coin they were referring to in the gospel was the image of Tiberius Caesar, which was on it. But we, who belong to God, have the divine image stamped right upon us, our immortal baptized souls. Just as the Roman coin bears that image of the emperor who made it, our souls bear the image and likeness of God, who calls each of us into existence and to personal communion with him. You might be asking yourselves, what else belongs to God other than ourselves? Well, Jesus Christ and his church make it very clear and explain and teach us what belongs to God. The dignity of every human being belongs to God and must be respected. The protection of the unborn belong to God. The sanctity and definition of holy matrimony between one man and one woman belong to God. Our genders that God has given us belong to God. We give God his divine worship every Sunday on the Lord's Day with the holy sacrifice of the Mass because it belongs to God. Being citizens on earth and faithful citizens of heaven is not always easy. As we stand up for our faith and vote according to God's law, the last and the greatest of the Beatitudes come to mind. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If Christ was a sign of contradiction in this self-centered world, living as authentic Christians in society will be too. It isn't easy to stand up for our faith in the public square. Every Christian holds dual citizenship, each with its own benefits and duties. Our birth made us citizens of an earthly nation. Our baptism made us citizens of a heavenly kingdom. And Christ commands to live out both with justice and responsibility. God's image is not on the coin, but in us. It means that we owe all we have, all that we are to him. In a way, the phrase says we should become what we are, and what we are made after the image of God, which is Christ himself. And we ought to bring that image of Christ to its fullness within ourselves first, and then into our society and our culture. Standing up for our Christian morals is our duty as citizens of this world. Yes, we witness by our Christian lives. Yes, but we have an obligation to promote the gospel in our culture. And we do that by our vote. We are witnessing in the world by our vote. We are God's, and we trust to protect God's laws and God's ways. The coin that belongs to Caesar, for it bears Caesar's image, yes. But we belong to God, and we bear his image. And that verse implies that what belongs to God includes Caesar himself. Caesar must obey God, meaning governments must also respect and obey God's laws. The government has to legislate and govern with the greatest respect for natural law and the rights of people. This includes the protection of life from the moment of conception until natural death, the defense of marriage and the family, ensuring religious liberty, and safeguarding the rights of parents regarding the education of their children. We know we shouldn't set our Christian faith aside when we vote. We can be inspired by the early Christian martyrs who gave up their lives and they stood up for their Christian faith. They stood up for the dignity of each human person and they stood up for their own religious liberties. May we have the courage to do the same. For a good citizen of a nation is one who does not follow false philosophy or ideology, or cooperates with unjust laws, but rather one who stands up and prays for his nation and tries to do all he can to overturn all those unjust laws and replace them with solid principles, that those principles that God has given us in his commandments. There are times when politicians overstep their authority. Other times they attack human dignity, violating natural law, which demands the innocent to be protected. Those willing to kill the unborn shouldn't be allowed to govern the living. These are the times when Christians have a duty to boldly insist that while Caesar is owed his due, we won't stand by silently and watch him step on God's laws. Let us be good, godly citizens by promoting his ways on earth, because that we will be judged if we don't. By how we witnessed and promoted the gospel principles in our culture and society. As Christians, we are challenged to be light and salt of the world, says Jesus. We are called to transform our environments in which we live in so as to make them more human. And when it comes to the fundamental questions of social morality, we should be fully aware of the fact that our faith serves as a powerful light illuminating our culture, because we are Jesus to the world. The teachings of God and his church are not an obstacle to human welfare or scientific progress. But while the church does not seek to run the world by means of political power, the faithful still need to serve others in their Christian charity and to be God's voice in the public square. When we uphold the indissolubility of marriage, we are showing the way of guaranteeing the health of society. And when we defend the sanctity and dignity of the human life in the face of abortion and euthanasia or other techniques that treat human beings as mere objects, we are promoting a civilization of love. When we act with a firm conviction that the church's teachings are the only source capable of filling our society with its moral void, we show ourselves to be faithful followers of our Lord. If we don't shape public policy according to moral truths, then why do we believe in moral truths at all? No longer are we to think of our religion as a purely private matter. Christ taught in public, and he was crucified in the public. Now risen from the dead, he places us in the public arena, and then with the commission to make disciples of all nations. As we recognize and fulfill both our civic obligations and our religious ones, we will find ourselves living a coherent and consistent life. In this month of October, dedicated to the Most Holy Rosary, let us pick up our beads and pray for our country and pray for this pivotal election. Then we will be able to do as Jesus demands: give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God's.